Once again, let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs and chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Last week we covered verses 1 to 9 about wine and strong drink. The Bible's pretty clear on that, isn't it? The world's not clear on it, and carnal churches are not clear on it, but the Bible sure is. And this afternoon, Proverbs 31, the great search. Proverbs 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? I've been greatly blessed by God in my life. My mother was a virtuous woman. The girl I married is a virtuous woman. So I've had a good life. And I've had an easy life. And those of you who haven't fared so well, I'll pray for you. God will help you. Honestly, you young fellas, you're not married yet. I want to tell you something. Apart from getting saved, the best thing you'll ever do in this life is marry a girl that loves God and believes the Bible. And the worst thing, apart from not getting saved, the worst thing you could do in this life is marry a girl who doesn't love God and doesn't believe the Bible. Because I don't care how much you love the Lord and you want to live for Him, if she doesn't want to, your hands are going to be tied. Your feet are tied. You're bound up. You're gagged. 1 Corinthians says if a man is married, he's got to seek how he can please his wife. That's what it says. You marry a wife who doesn't love the Lord, if you're going to please her, you're going to have to stop doing things for the Lord. Same thing for you girls. You say, I just want to get married. You don't want to just get married as much as you want to marry somebody that loves God and believes the Bible. If you marry somebody else, you don't have a chance. We'll get to that in a minute. Well, let me tell you how this is going to happen. You're going to meet somebody, and she doesn't believe like you believe, or he doesn't believe like you believe. And you're going to say, well, that's okay, because we love each other. That's okay. We've agreed to, you know, not fight about religion and this and that. Well, that's fine, but one day you're going to have a baby. And now one of you is going to have to give up what one of you believes to raise that baby in accord with how that other one wants that baby to be raised. So you better be thinking about those things. And one of you is going to have to give up his God or her God. One of you is going to have to give up his belief or her belief in order to raise that child and stay together. Or else it's going to be, well, then we'll just split up. And that's not right either. That's not good. So you need to be careful. Don't find a woman and try to turn her into a virtuous woman. That's not what he said. He said, who can find a virtuous woman? Don't find a sorry, good-for-nothing man to make him your missionary project. That's a bad way to go. Amen. You say, well, but he'll change. Have you seen any evidence of that out there? Well, she'll change. Not likely. Not likely. So let's read this passage this afternoon. This is the portion of scripture that really lifts up the ladies and gives them God's target to shoot for. This is what God wants you to be. This is what your husband wants you to be. He just didn't want to be the one to tell you. He wanted me to tell you. So I'll tell you today from the Bible, and then we can all live happily ever after. That's right. That's true. God knows what he's talking about. All right, let's pray before we go. Heavenly Father, on this matter of the virtuous woman, both the men and the ladies here today have much that they can learn from this. And Lord, I know that if these principles will be followed, you can give us so many blessings in our marriage relationship that we might be missing out on because these things are lacking. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be to have a heart that's open and ready to receive what your Holy Spirit has to show us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? A bad woman, she's expensive. A good woman is a treasure. A bad woman will take every dollar you've got and then one more. A good woman will make you a rich man. Rich in joy, rich in peace, rich in contentment, rich in satisfaction. Her price is far above rubies. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know, if you pick up your newspaper in the morning instead of your Bible, you're going to read about killing, cutting, beating, arrests, domestic violence. Let me tell you something. What a joy in a man's life to know I'm off at work and I don't have the slightest concern about what my wife is up to while I'm gone. What a joy. I'm out there on the battlefield fighting for my country, or I'm out there ministering for the Lord in the good work of the gospel. I'm traveling on a business trip. I don't have to give one moment's worry or concern. You know, is my wife faithful? Is my wife doing right? Am I going to come home and find some disaster that she created? No, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. The greatest thing you've got in marriage is not a house. It's not a car. It's not money in the bank. It's confidence. Absolute 100% confidence in one another. That newspaper, every day you pick up a newspaper, some guy shot some woman in the middle of the night. And I'll tell you why that shooting went on. I mean, almost every time, one of those people has been messing around. It's a love triangle uncovered. And somebody just didn't like that love triangle. And so they put a stop to it. I don't think a man ought to ever punch a woman, hit a woman, kick a woman, all this domestic violence stuff. But I'll tell you this, if you go into a courtroom and watch a man explain to a judge the reason he beat that guy up, it's because he came home and found that guy in the arms of his wife. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Brother, if you've got a wife right now, and you can go away for an hour, for a day, for a week, for a month, and never be the least bit concerned about her being faithful to you and true to you, you ought to thank her and thank God. And sister, brother, when that confidence is gone, if you erode that confidence, you break down that confidence, it might be your little online chit-chat, it might be your flirtatious behavior, it might be a little rendezvous. Listen, it's hard to get that confidence back. It's hard to get it back. Confidence, it's a fragile thing. Certainty is a delicate thing. You don't want to ruin that. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. I don't need to be a rich man. I got a good wife. I don't need to pursue the treasures and vain things of this world. Man, I got happiness right there at home waiting for me. That's what he says. That's the Bible. It can be give you contentment. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now that's what is vowed. If you've been to weddings, you've heard those vows. Preachers hear them so many times. That young lady, she stands right there. Preacher says, will you do this? Yes. Will you do that? Yes. Will you promise to do the other thing? Yes. All your days? Yes, absolutely. But then 2 years later, they're sitting in the office with the same preacher, and she says, well, I didn't know he was going to say that. Well, I didn't know he was going to act like that. Well, I didn't know he had a temper. I didn't know he would lose his job. I didn't know we'd be eating tuna fish instead of steak. You know what that Bible says about a virtuous woman? She will do him good and not evil. The good days of her life and the bad days of her life. The high days in her life and the low days in her life. The up days in her life and the down days in her life, she will do him good. Now, where does that virtue come from? It comes from God. God's good to me on the good days and the bad days. He's good to me when I'm acting right, and he's good to me when I'm not acting right. The Bible says a virtuous woman, a godly woman, a woman who's like Christ, she'll be good when her husband is not good. She'll do right when he's not right. She'll do him good all the days of her life. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax. Say, what's that? She's out shopping. I know there's some men who don't like that. They say, bless God, I got a virtuous woman. I don't let her out of the house. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Well, I'm not going to let her run around all over town spending all my money. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. You say, well, I don't want her out there shopping for clothes all the time. Okay, do you want to go shopping for her clothes for her? If she wants to go buy a dress and I don't have to go, have a good time. I'll stay home. If she can take two or three of you ladies with her, stay all day. I'd rather her stay all day shopping with you than 1 hour shopping with me. Amen. That's the truth. You know how it is. Men, when you need a pair of shoes, you know what size you wear, you know what you want, you know where they sell it. You walk in there to where they sell it, you get it, you go home. You don't spend half a day looking at shoes. You tell your wife, I'm going to go buy a pair of shoes, see you in about half an hour. Half hour? This could take days. Why? You think I'm going on an expedition or going on a safari or something? I'm getting a pair of shoes. It's amazing. So if she wants to go out and seek wool and flax, that's great. She knows what she's looking for. I don't. I don't know about that kind of stuff. I'm glad I don't. Nothing in me that enjoys shopping. I have nothing in common with those fashion designer guys. Nothing at all. And I don't want to. Yeah. All right, so you guys need to lighten up. Let her go buy some clothes. You say, yeah, but she's going to spend my money. Well, you spend it on something you didn't need. You bought some junk. You telling me you never bought junk? The rest of the verse says, and worketh willingly with her hands. Worketh, that's the first part. Willingly, that's the second part, with her hands. A virtuous woman is not lazy. A virtuous woman doesn't consider a tough day on the job to be walking into the pantry, walking into the kitchen, opening the cupboard, getting another bag of potato chips to last her till she can finish her soap operas. You know, if you'd just stay off that couch and work a little, you wouldn't have to watch so many of those TV doctors telling you how to get back in shape. She's sitting there with half a pie on her lap watching Dr. So-and-so tell her about the new diet workout plan. Here's a diet workout plan for you. Instead of using your arm to do this, use it to do some of this. You know? So, hey, if this arm can lift a fork, it can push an iron. And there's nothing wrong with the lady of the house doing a hard day's work while the man of the house is out on the job doing a hard day's work. It's a good combination. It's good teamwork. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says, and I didn't say it, the Bible says she worketh willingly with her hands. Willingly. That means she's not griping about it, grumbling about it, murmuring about it, complaining about it, or nagging about it. Verse 14. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. That means she went to the store and she didn't get just a little bit. She loaded up. It doesn't say, here comes the rowboat with the food. It says, here comes the merchant ship with food from afar. Here comes the bananas from the Philippines and some citrus from Syria and some sweet potatoes from Egypt and some Angus beef from USA and some mangoes from India. She brings it all home. Man, I like that. I'm glad I like it. You want to blow your budget? There's a reason I don't go clothes shopping with my wife. Because it's not a lot of fun. That's true, but that's not the reason. The reason I don't like to go grocery shopping with my wife is because we spend way too much money. We buy all kinds of stuff if I go to Lulu's or Sultan Center that she doesn't come home with if she goes by herself. Why? She's a virtuous woman. But I'll tell you what she does. She goes in there. We need this. We need that. We got to have this. We need to have that. And she knows what we need because she knows how to put it all together and make food out of it. I mean, really, just I hear she'll take a box of some kind of powder. Here's a bottle of some kind of goo. And here's some sort of spice in a jar over there. And she throws all that stuff in a pan and puts it in the oven. And out comes something good to eat. That's a virtuous woman, man. I can't do that. I might open up a Betty Crocker cookbook once in a while and give it a shot, but it usually doesn't turn out right. That's work. That's work. You want to do that two or three times a day? 7 days a week, year after year? Not me. Thank God for a virtuous woman. You guys, you come home, what's for supper? How come supper isn't ready? Because it's work, hard work. Well, we just had this 2 weeks ago. Yeah, go to Africa. They had the same thing every day for the last 5,200 years. It's not hard to figure out what to cook when you don't have anything. We got lots of food. So you let your wife start up your merchant ship and drive it down to the marketplace. Fill up that ship with stuff from all over the world. Bring it home. Cook it for dinner. And you say, thank you, honey dear. I appreciate this. This is a blessing. Amen. I know how much work is involved in running a home. When my wife is traveling and I have to cook for myself, there's not much variety in what I'll make for myself. It's just whatever's easiest to cook. quickest to prepare. And I always make sure that I'm going to have leftovers for the next 3 days so I don't have to dirty a bunch of pots and pans every single day. All right, verse 15. She riseth also. You know, about 10:30, staggers out of bed. She's all hungover, takes a couple of aspirin, and then takes a nap. No, not the virtuous woman. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Man, she's up early, fixing breakfast. The baby's crying, and guess who gets up with that baby? Husband says, you gotta get that baby. I gotta go to work in the morning. Yeah, she's got nothing tomorrow? Nothing to do? You know, I've worked all day. How about bringing me a snack? Well, that ain't fair. A virtuous woman riseth also while it is yet night. And she does that to give meat to her household. Food preparation. Man, that's a lot of work. Food cleanup. That's a lot of work. Meal organizing, a lot of work, but she does it, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it, with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Now, I know some of you guys think it would be some kind of a sin for you to let your wife know that she has any brains, but hey, you're hurting yourself if that's the case. Because if you got a woman and she's smart, let her be smart. If you got a woman that knows how to do things, let her do things. If you got a woman that can figure out business and finance and making deals and all that sort of thing, let her do it, man. Two are stronger than one, the Bible says. Two brains ought to be better than one. Two sets of talents and abilities ought to get you farther than one. Some of these guys that want to keep their woman in her place, they say, bless God, I'm the man of my house and I want my wife to take care of me. That's her job. Well, you're dumb. Get over yourself. Let her do what she can do. If she can go out there and buy a field and turn a profit on that thing, if she can plant a garden or a vineyard and grow some crops, grow some food, make you some money, save you some money. Why wouldn't you let her do it? Well, I want a Christian home. I don't want any of that worldly stuff in here. Okay, so that means you got no TV, you got no dance records, you don't have this, you don't have that. And what's she going to do all day? Well, she can pray and read the Bible. If you were home all day, you wouldn't pray and read the Bible all day from sunup to sundown. Why do you think she's going to pray and read the Bible from sunup to sundown? Let her use the abilities God has given her. Let her use the talents God's given her. It's not going to hurt you if she's a virtuous woman. 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. There's one thing I can't find in the scriptures from one end to the other, and that is one good thing said about laziness. I can't find one good thing about a sluggard. Now, if you've been in an accident or you got some kind of disease or maybe you got mugged and somebody busted up your body, we can understand that. That's not laziness, but eating yourself to death, that's not a disability. That's an ability. Loafing yourself to death, just lying around like a slug till your health fails you, that's not a disability. In America, they spend something like $80 million a year of taxpayers' money giving these scooters for people to ride around because they have been diagnosed with obesity. Well, how about you undiagnose it? The virtuous woman You know what she does? She strengthens her legs. She strengthens her arms. She's busy. She's active. She's working. She's doing what needs to be done. Men say, well, isn't the woman supposed to be the weaker vessel? Well, emotionally, yes, according to the Bible. Spiritually, can be, according to the Bible. Physically, well, you better be careful saying that. You think a woman has never beat up a man before? How would you like to spend a day in a woman's prison, men? It can't mean she's physically weaker. There's some women who are stronger than their husbands. And you know that. Don't start pointing fingers now. You know, women, ladies, you put a baby on your hip, you can walk around for 2 hours carrying that baby, loading up groceries in a cart, getting bags of groceries, hauling them out to the car with that baby on your hip the whole time. Men, you couldn't do that. Honey, how can you take this kid? My arm's about to fall off. It's been 3 minutes. I know, but it's heavy. She'll walk around with that kid all day long. She strengtheneth her arms. She girdeth her loins with strength. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Okay, so she's selling stuff. Her candle goeth not out by night. Man, when the sun goes down, she's still busy. At nightfall, she's still working. Her husband's over there on the couch, snoring. He put in a long 8 hours. Glad he did. He ought to do that. The Bible says so. But, man, she was up before he was up, getting him ready for work, making sure he had clean clothes, making sure he had a lunch to take with him, making sure he had breakfast to eat, getting the kids all ready for school. Some ladies don't send the kids to school. They teach school to their own kids and make lunch and then they do some more school. And then they do the housework and make supper. And then the husband comes home and he eats supper. And then he sits down. And then she cleans up after supper. And he goes to sleep. And she's working all into the night. And you say, well, that's just not fair. Ladies, you shouldn't have eaten that fruit. You should have left that tree alone. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, the Bible says. And we've been taking full advantage of that ever since. But you know what that virtuous woman does? She does all that. She does that. She's not bitter about it. She's not grumbling about it. She's not trying to get out of it. She's doing it all. She's doing all that she can do for her family, for her husband. Praise the Lord. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Okay. Well, preacher, I can tell you I've never done that. I don't even know what that is. She's sewing. That's parts of a sewing machine there. Spindle, the distaff, holds the thread. Old time. She's making her own clothes. She's making her children's own clothes. My mom used to do that. She made dresses for my sisters. I don't remember her ever making boys' clothes, but it's a blessing if a lady can do that. It's a blessing to know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. It's complicated. It's hard to do. Nowadays, with the price of material, you can just about buy something cheaper than you could make it. But it's pretty hard to find something that you could call modest apparel. You ever tried shopping for church clothes online or something? You got to weed through a whole lot of stuff you would never be caught dead in a church house before you find something that you might buy for church for a lady. You got to go out in the stores. You got to buy layers and layers of stuff that they're selling to cover up everything that's supposed to be covered up. But that's one item won't do it. It's going to leave something exposed. That's just the world. It's acceptable to the world. And I don't know, you'd think it couldn't cost any more to make something that comes up to here, you know, but they're everything you find in the store seems to be cut down to here, you know. I don't know, maybe the seamstresses in Indonesia and China, maybe they're protesting. You know, that's it, we're gonna work all day for a bowl of rice, but we're not going to make a shirt that comes all the way up to the top. We're going to stop right here. That's our new contract. I don't know how it works. I don't know what's going on, but this virtuous woman, she knows how to make those clothes, and it's hard work, more work. Takes time, mending included, fixing, patching. You don't have to get something new every time something goes bad. Fix it up. My mom used to sew patches on the knees of our pants, sometimes more than once. I had pants with patches on patches. A virtuous woman. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So, look, she's done all that to take care of her husband. She's done all that to take care of her household. And she still has time and energy and concern left for other people outside her house. Isn't that amazing? I tell you, this is some lady right here. If you find a girl like this, you better marry her. That's what you're looking for. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Okay, now think about this. These girls growing up now, boys growing up now, most adults now too, it's maddening trying to pastor people and help people in this generation, especially in America, because they live like it's Friday, but there's not going to be a Saturday. It's August, but there will never be a September. They just live for right now. For right now. If they got $50 in their pocket, they're going to spend $50. If they got an hour to do something, they're going to do something for right now. There's no thought for tomorrow. There's no planning for tomorrow. There's no preparation for tomorrow. There's no concern for tomorrow. Look, if it's summer, guess what? Winter is coming. If it's winter, guess what? Summer is coming. You know why these girls are walking around pregnant, no husband? They don't think about it. You know why these people say, I got a raise on the job. I went from $8 an hour to $9 an hour. Let's go buy a new car. You know why they do that? They're not thinking about it. You know why you've got all these people living in $500,000 homes who can only really afford to live in a $150,000 home? They weren't thinking about it. You know what this virtuous woman does? She says, I need to make preparation now for the snowy days in our lives, for the cold times in our lives, for the days when my children need coats upon their backs and warm shoes on their feet. I need to plan for the future. Our society today wants instant gratification, and it always costs them later on. Listen, you're not going to fix that thing. You can't fix it. You say, well, we're going to vote in somebody. They'll take care of it. You're not going to fix it. Because you've got people who don't understand that there are supposed to be consequences for misbehavior. If you gamble all your money away, that's okay. We'll just take taxpayer money, give you what you gambled away. If you drink your money away, well, no problem. We'll just take some money from people that didn't drink their money away, and we'll give it to you. No consequences for their bad behavior. So what happens? one day there's not going to be enough money left to take from people who aren't on drugs and give it to druggies. And there isn't going to be enough money left to take from people who took care of their families and give it to people who, yes, they had families, but they had no intention of taking care of them. And you're going to see cities burning and blood flowing and riots in the street like you have never seen, because a nation that's like that is not going to know how to work its way out of a depression. You say, well, the problem, it's economic trouble. America had some serious economic trouble from 1929 to 1945, and there wasn't all this killing and raping and looting and stealing and burning and child molesting. Now, if a hurricane hits one city in America, 2 days later, they're stealing everything they can get. Why? They don't fear God. So you're not going to fix a nation like that unless you get it back to a God-based mindset. You can't fix it. So you better not be looking for a girl that's just pretty, though that might help. You better be looking for a girl that understands. If I blow every paycheck before it gets cold, we're not going to make it tomorrow. If I burn through every opportunity to prepare for the future as if there were no future, we're going to hit some hard times and not get through those times. Snowy days are coming. The virtuous woman sees the future and she prepares for it. Verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Listen, men, I'm not going to tell you how to run your house beyond what the Bible says. And I'm not going to tell you how to raise your children beyond what the Bible says. But the Bible doesn't say that your wife has to walk around wearing old feed bags. Well, I don't want anybody lusting after my wife. Well, do you want them laughing at your wife? One draws just as much attention as the other. Now, I will grant you, those Amish girls, they are dressed modestly, no flesh exposed. But everybody in the mall is looking at them. They are drawing as much attention to themselves as somebody who's dressed inappropriately. And guys, listen, you would think nothing of spending $400 on gear to catch $50 worth of fish. Bless God, I got this new triple clutch semi-automatic supercast racing reel for my fishing pole. I catch about the same number of fish, but isn't it cool, man? Looks cool. Yeah, it's impressive. And then she goes out and buys something, and, well, what did you pay for that? Well, you know, I haven't bought a new dress in 10 years, honey. A new dress? You think we got money for something like that? Well, we got money for a new thing, anything you want. And sister, don't say that. That won't help your marriage if you say that. But just let me help you here. There's nothing wrong with a woman wearing silk instead of burlap. There's nothing wrong with a woman wearing purple instead of the plain black, plain white, plain brown colors, because, you know, we need to be like the people were 100 years ago. But you're not like those people. Everybody wants to be like people of old-fashioned times, except for the conveniences and the comforts that they don't want to give up, like running water, indoor plumbing, heating and air conditioning. But anyway, she covers herself with tapestry. Now, here's what I would say. It says, a virtuous woman maketh herself coverings. So it's okay if it's pretty. It's okay if it's shiny. It's okay if it's sparkly. Pink, you know, girl color. But it ought to cover you. It ought to cover you, because every man in here has got eye trouble, sister. Don't mess him up. Now, you want to know what modest apparel is? I can tell you what modest apparel is. It's pretty easy if you want to know what it is. Here you are, sitting in a room full of people right here. And God, so let's say God spoke to your heart and you want to come forward, you want to kneel on this altar, you want to pray to God. Well, the man who's sitting right there, the man who's sitting right there, maybe there's somebody up here, anywhere in this room where there might be a man that can see you, once you kneel down at that altar, nothing should be seen that he should not see. Now, if you can kneel before God and pray in a church service and everything's covered and everything's all right, then you're wearing what you ought to be wearing. If you can't do that in mixed company, then you need to pull something up, or you might need to pull something down, or loosen something up, or fix something. Say, why? Because men have eye trouble. Your wife's going to say, what are you looking at her for? He probably doesn't even know he's looking at her. It's just been that way since the fall of man. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I just ruined another evening at home, honey. Look, if you're going to spend all that money to take her out to dinner, don't watch the waitress all the way back to the kitchen. Amen. Hi, can I take your order? Oh, hi, how you doing? So you'll sweet talk the waitress and then you'll gripe at your wife. How are we doing? Now, while she's doing all that work, verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She's home doing homework with the kids. She's home mending the clothes. She's home doing the laundry. And the husband's got an important meeting down at the Royal Order of the Moose. But hey, it's a big meeting tonight. We're deciding on whether or not to get a new pool table. Honey, I might not get home very early tonight. This could be a long one. So while he's sitting around with the boys down at the Grand Mystic Knights of the Field Lodge with his fez hat and his little tassel hanging from it and all his Muslim symbols on his matching vest, he gives the secret handshake and puts on his special apron and recites his magic words and all that foolishness, and then starts getting drunk. And while he's doing all that, she's home working. And it says, her husband's known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Because when he gets home, his wife is going to be glad to see him. And when those other guys get home, their wives are going to be waiting up for him to start a fight. And they all know it. Listen, if you got a good wife, everybody knows you got a good wife. All your friends know you got a good wife. All your associates, they know you got a good wife. The guys you work with, they wish they had a wife like yours. It's a blessing. All right, verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it. Hey, what do you think about this, Pastor? My wife wants to sell some stuff to make some money. Good. You're not making any. Look, sister, don't neglect those children to make money. Don't neglect that house to make money. Don't neglect your husband to make money. But if you can do everything that you are supposed to do, and you still got time on your hands, and maybe you're getting bored, do something profitable. Do something useful. Praise the Lord. You know, you don't have to, but it says a virtuous woman does. Amen. When your kids grow up and the nest gets empty, be careful. The dogs will start to move in to replace the kids. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Young lady, sister, if you'll do right by that husband, it will go well with you. If you'll do right by that family, it will go well with you. If you'll do right by God, it'll go well with you. Look, here's what's going to happen. There are 7 billion people in this world. If you find one man in this world who will love you with all his heart and give his energy and his strength and his talent to making your life better, when you're 50, 60, 70, you will have what very few of those 7 billion people have, because they don't have one single person in this world that would lay down their life for them. You ought to invest your life in that man that you're married to. And sir, let me tell you something. There are 7 billion people in this world. Probably 4 billion of them are women. It might go one way when you're 35 or 45. But one of these days, all you're going to have in this world is one person that loves you, cares for you, is going to sit there with you through your decline, through your downhill days, loving and true. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd start working toward that when I was 25. And I'd keep working toward that when I was 35. I wouldn't give up on that when I was 50. One day, apart from your relationship to God, all you're going to have is your husband or your wife. You ought to treat them at least twice as good as you treat anybody in this world. It's the best thing you got. Don't forget it. She openeth her mouth. Now that could go a number of directions. I know you're in suspense. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Okay, first of all, gentlemen, God didn't just give males the ability of speech. God, in his wisdom, gave ladies the ability to talk, even better than you. Longer, faster, greater endurance, and able to handle multiple conversations at one time. Stop trying to suppress your wife like she's some kind of a second-rate human being. God gave her sense, as much or more than you. Intelligence, as much or more than you. Understanding, as much or more than you. If she's saved, he also gave her the Holy Spirit, and not just you. He taught her the Bible, not just you. If she's got some God-given wisdom, if you're making a mess of something and she wants to say, I think there's a better way to do this, well, then listen. Why wouldn't you listen to her? You don't tell me nothing. Come on, man. Get over yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let her help you. You got two sets of eyes. Why are you using just one? You got two sets of understanding. Why are you just using one? Take advantage of her wisdom. And the Bible says, sister, in her tongue is the law of kindness. This virtuous woman, she made it a fixed rule. I will not speak unless I'm speaking kindness. I might once in a once in a decade be forced to disagree with my husband. But I will never speak to him without kindness. It's just a law, my law. I will be kind to my children. When I am correcting them, if I must, I will be kind to them. I will speak kind words at all times, under all circumstances, because that's just what I am. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If her words are kind, she's got a kind heart. And that's needed. That's needed. Men are rough. Men are hard. And they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be. Our society is in ruins because we're making men effeminate, making men like women. These people say, well, you know, that neighborhood, it's this ethnic group or it's that cultural group, and that's why they have so much crime, so much violence. No. You go in those neighborhoods, I'll tell you what they have. They have women raising sons with no man in that house. If you put that situation in any culture, of any color, of any economic strata, things are going to go to ruin. Because that man, God put him there to be firm, to be hard, to be demanding, and to be the one to draw the line, to execute judgment. And he put the woman there to balance that. The law of kindness. So sister, you ought to be kind all the time. We got a lot of young men growing up nowadays, and they say they're confused. They reach their mature years and they say they're confused. They don't know if they're a man or a woman. A lot of it's because dad acted like a woman and mom acted like a man. They're confused because they've seen confusion every day of their life. That woman ought to be kind, sweet, gentle, merciful. And that man ought to be firm and hard and demanding. That's a good balance. And we don't have much of that balance out there anymore. You need both. Young men especially, we need both. 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Hey, I'm just trying to help you, not trying to be mean, not trying to be offensive. I know there's one thing no preacher touches. I know that. I understand it. No preacher wants to touch it. Honestly. You can eat all you want if you work hard enough to balance what you eat. But if eating is not balanced by working it off, a little goes a long way, and it goes direct to all the wrong places. Just trying to help you out. It doesn't say the virtuous woman doesn't eat bread, but she doesn't eat just to eat, and then eat some more just to eat some more. Come on. Go to the supermarket. Pretty soon they're going to have triple doors instead of just the double doors. I'm not sure, but I think it's worse in America than it is the rest of the world, just based off what I've seen in Walmart. But the more channels of satellite TV you've got, and the more games of solitaire you play on your computer, and the more unsocial networking time you spend while eating the whole time, you're hurting yourself. Walk. Climb the stairs. Where are you going, honey? Well, where's the car keys? I can't find the car keys. Yeah, well, they're over there. Where are you going? I'm going to the next door neighbor's house to borrow some cheese. It's 20 feet away. You gonna drive there? Now, I'm not trying to be mean. She eateth not the bread of idleness. You think I'm joking, too. Some people have long driveways up to their house. They'll drive the car down to the mailbox to get the mail. but we got a bunch of hardworking ladies here. They work at home and they work hard for Jesus. A lot of you ladies here today, you got jobs too. It's a blessing. 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. If your children are not blessing you and praising you and telling you what a great mom you are, don't yell at them again. Find out why. Don't get mad and outburst more at them than you already have been. Those boys and girls, they ought to love their mother, not run from her. Now, my wife showed me a video a few weeks ago. Poor little girl, she's in the schoolhouse holding on to the teacher's leg, and her mom's trying to get her to go home. And she doesn't want to go home with mama because mama's mean. Mama abuses her. Shouldn't be like that. Your kids ought to love you. Their home ought to be their favorite place. Mom ought to be their favorite person. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Gentlemen, you ought to do that. Have you got a virtuous woman? Got a good wife? Wouldn't hurt you to let her hear you tell other people that. I got a good wife, man. I got a good woman. Let her hear you say it. Praise her. 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Favor is deceitful. Look, God hasn't made us all the same. He has favored some men, and you know that's true. Life is easier for those men that God has favored than those that just have to get by. You know that's true. Favor is deceitful. Just because somebody looks like he's got something going for him, he might be a crook. He might be an adulterer. He might be a reprobate. So, you can't go by how a person looks. You know, look at that woman. Wow. Wow. Wow, she's got it all. She might have more than you think. She might have a wicked heart. She might have a bitter spirit. She might be prone to cheat. She might be an adulteress. So you better be careful. You better get to know the heart and not just stop at the looks. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Just being honest, life is easier for the beautiful than for the not so beautiful. You know that. They get advantages. They get waited on. They get treated differently. They get talked to differently. But guess what? There's this thing walking about out there, and it's looking for you. It's looking for every one of us. And that thing out there, it's called time. And he might come to your house first, or he might come to your house last on the block, but one day time is going to ring your doorbell. And when you open the door, he's going to say, put it right there. What? Beauty. Put it right there. Well, no. Yeah, I've come for it. It's time. Put it right there. And if all you've got is what you've got on the outside and you got nothing on the inside, one day you're going to lose all that you've got. And then you're nothing. You're nothing. You're just a bitter old woman or a pervert old man if you got nothing on the inside. One day you're going to be left with nothing. But if inside you have Christ Jesus, a godly character, love, and hey, when will people ever turn from love? Joy and peace. There's always going to be people looking for that. Goodness, gentleness. Come on. If you let God's Holy Spirit make you a godly woman on the inside, you will never go out of style. Come on, man, you know, don't you enjoy spending time with people who are like that? And you avoid people who are far from that, don't you? Praise the Lord, that's the truth. Verse 30, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Okay. Now, they might praise that beauty for a while, but shall be, not going to happen. Not going to happen. These women, you know, all these movie stars, they're going along, they're doing okay. Age 25, big parts in movies. 35, still getting good parts. Then they get to be about 40, seems like they just vanished off the scene. You say, why? Because favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. They got nothing left to offer anybody. Not so with Christian women. Not so with godly women. You've always got plenty to offer. In fact, godly character gets more beautiful. I don't know if you've noticed that. You just get more gracious, more loving, and more kind as the days go by. And it shows in your face, too. And that's how it ought to be. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, okay, in the gates. Where's that man? Where's the husband? Where was he? He's sitting out there in the gates. Verse 23. You know what the Bible says? When that woman goes out with that man, when that woman goes out with that man, a virtuous woman is praiseworthy. She's praiseworthy. You don't want to be the kind of girl who gets noticed because you're a tramp. You don't want to be the kind of woman that gets noticed because she's a reproach to her gender. Someone who's criticized by everyone for the way she is. Ashamed of the Lord. You want to be noticed because you've been so good to your husband. So good to your children. So good to your church. So good to your God. Listen, this is a great woman here. She's industrious, hardworking, talented. All these things center around the home and the family. And yet they reach out beyond the home and beyond the family. And she's a blessing to God, and she's a blessing to her husband. She's a blessing to her children. And the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? Isn't it a sad thing that they're so hard to find? So difficult to search out? Isn't that a sad thing? It ought not to be. Godly men, godly women, it is possible. It's possible. If you look back on your life, if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've been around a while, here's what you've learned. Your life is not better off because of pretty people. It's better off because of good people. You don't make a list and say, here's a list of the 10 best looking people I ever saw in my life. But you could make a list of the 10 people that have helped you the most in your life. And the people on that list, you don't care what they looked like. Because what they imparted to you had nothing to do with their physical appearance. It had to do with their spiritual character and their spiritual qualities. Praise the Lord. So let's praise these virtuous women. Let's encourage our young Christian ladies and our girls to grow up to be virtuous. Listen, this world wants every one of these girls to grow up and be trash. Just something for men to use. We want them to grow up to be like what we read about here today. Good, 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 good women. happy lives, blessed lives, good families, good homes. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for revealing to us in your Bible what it is to be a virtuous woman. Lord, this has been a help to men also, Lord, because these are qualities we ought to possess as well. But Lord, we thank you that you saved this, you preserved it in your Bible, and that we may look at it today and apply it to our lives and examine our own lives and see where we're lacking in these things. And we pray, Lord, for the young ladies that are here today, those who are still searching for husbands, and for the young men here today still looking for a wife. Lord, I pray that they'd keep these things in mind and not, and that they would always go beyond the outer appearance and look into the heart and see if these qualities be there. Help us, Lord, to be what you have described here in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.